When I climbed behind this sacred desk, one of the most freest times in my life. The Holy Ghost, you see, this is a sacred desk. This is called a pulpit. And what happens behind a pulpit is you pull from heaven. It's not you, but it's God speaking through you. And this morning, I want to speak a message. This morning, nothing goes undone. Nothing goes undone. Nothing in your life will go undone. I want you to know that this morning. And if you have a copy of God's Word, I want you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 1. A lot of times, Baptists want to steer from the book of Acts because of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And I tell you this morning, as being a Baptist minister, I don't want to steer from it. I want to get right in it. Can I get an amen? I want to get right in the book of Acts. And I don't want to just get to Acts chapter number 2 and stop there and not preach none of the book of Acts. But I want to go from Acts chapter number 1 all the way to the end and see what God has for us in the book of Acts. And this morning, I don't know, but I do know this, that nothing goes undone. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word this morning. Acts chapter number 1, and we're to stand with the book of Acts. In verse number 16, the Bible says, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas." What? In the book of Acts? "Which was guide to them that took Jesus, for he was numbered with us and had attained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in the proper tongue Aceldama, that is to say, the field of blood, for it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And in his bishopric let another take.'" Father, I love you and I thank you for this day. And I thank you that nothing goes undone. Lord, I thank you that when we read the Holy Scripture, Father God, you show us that you're in control. Not us, but you're in control. I pray for the next few moments that you guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Lord, I pray this morning that you increase and that I decrease. Lord, I'm asking this morning, Father God, that you anoint, Father God, the people that are in this place. Lord, if they be lost, let them be saved. Lord God, if they're backslidden, let them come back to where they need to be. Father God, if they're out of your will in a mighty way, Lord God, I pray that the Holy Ghost search their hearts. And I pray at the time of invitation, Lord God, when you give your invitation, that the Holy Ghost would draw somebody to you this morning. Father, I love you and I thank you. And I thank you that nothing goes undone. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. As we come this morning, we've done talk. Nothing goes undone. We see that in the first in chapter of Acts, chapter number 1 this morning. And as I studied this, I was meditating and I was wanting to understand about the Word of God here in Acts chapter number 1. And I see that nothing goes undone. The promise of the Father, which is the Holy Ghost, shall come. You'll find in verse number 1. And then we see that the promise that Jesus will return is found in chapter number 1. But then right there in the middle of all these great promises that we see here in Acts chapter number 1, right in the middle of all these great promises, we see Judas Iscariot mentioned here in the text. We see the one that has betrayed the Son of God. We see the one that sold Jesus out. Friends, this morning, what I'm trying to tell you is that in your life and in my life, there's not one thing that goes undone. God knows all things. And you may say this morning, I've got it hid. It's covered up. But I want you to know this morning that nothing goes undone. Why, preacher, does nothing go undone? Why does nothing go undone? Why does everything come to light? What a man does in dark shall be brought to light. Why is that? You know what, this morning, you can't do nothing that God won't shine down and show that in your life. If you do good, He's going to bring it out. If you do bad, He's going to bring it out. He's going to bring it out because nothing goes undone. I want to show you three reasons why in the text nothing goes undone. Number one this morning, if you If you'll look with me in verse number 16, nothing goes undone, number one, because Scripture must be fulfilled. This morning the Bible says in verse number 16, men and brethren, this Scripture must needs have been fulfilled. He said the Scripture must be fulfilled about what we're talking about Judas Iscariot. You know what? He denied our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look what the Bible says. And men and brethren, the Scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guided to them that took Jesus. If you'll turn with me to Psalm chapter number 41 in verse number 9. And the Bible says this morning, stay with the book of Acts, but let's go to the book of Psalms. And this morning, I want you to know what David said about Judas. As we come this morning, you may think a lot about Judas, but you know what the Bible says in Psalm 41 in verse number 9, we're talking about that the Scripture must be fulfilled. And the Bible says in Psalm 41 in verse number 9, here's what the Bible says. Yeah, my own familiar friend. You know what David said here? He was speaking about Judas. He said that Judas was a friend. He was familiar with Jesus. He knew Jesus and he was familiar with Jesus. You know what? This morning it's one thing that you may know Jesus, but it's something even greater that he knows you. You know what? This morning I know the President of the United States. I know his name is Joe Biden. Hey, but if I went to the White House and I went up to a White House and I knocked on the door and I said, I want to see Joe Biden. And they said, who are you? And I tell them who I am. And they went and asked him, did he know me? He wouldn't know me. And access wouldn't be granted. Hey, this morning it won't be that I know Jesus, but it'll be that Jesus knows me and I've been born again. There's a lot of people that knows a lot about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. Here he says this, yeah, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread and had lifted up his heel against me. Hey, David said that Judas was a familiar friend. But look with me in Psalm 55 in verse number 12. Not only did the psalmist say that he was a familiar friend, but the Bible says this morning in Psalm 55 in verse number 12. I want you to get this. Here's what the psalmist said about Judas. He said he wasn't only a familiar friend. Not only did he sit in church with him. Not only did he get in the upper room with him. Not only was he there with him, but I want you to know this morning. He says this in Psalm 55, 12. For it was not my enemy that reproached me. It wasn't an enemy that came against me. It was supposed to have been a brother. It was supposed to have been a friend. This morning, what I'm trying to tell you is that nothing goes undone. What's in the heart, God knows this morning. And the Bible says in Psalm 55, 12, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have bared it. He said, if it had been an enemy, if it had been somebody, if it had been somebody else, I could have bared it. He said, but this, and I love this, I could have borne it. Neither was it that hated me, that didn't magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. Friends, this morning, I want you to know nothing goes undone, because the Scripture must be fulfilled. You say, preacher, this morning, what are you talking about? Hey, Jesus chose Judas. Did you think that when he chose Judas, he knew who he was? I want to tell you this morning, on the authority of God's Word, he knew exactly who Judas was, and he knows who you are this morning. Everybody in this room, everybody that's got breath in their lungs is chosen by God. He has chosen you. I don't believe in predestination, but I want you to know this. He has chosen you and he has chosen me. You say, what's the problem there? Will you repent and choose him this morning? The Bible says this morning, if you'll turn with me to John 13 and verse number 18, I want to show you this morning. You said, well, I'll tell you what I would have done. I would have never chose Judas. I would have never chose him to be part of my team. I would have never chose him to come up with me. But you know what? When Jesus chose him, he knew exactly who he was. And this morning when he chooses you, he knows exactly who you are. Woo-hoo. John 13, 18, look what the Bible says. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen. He said, I know whom I have chosen and that the Scripture may be fulfilled. We're talking about nothing goes undone because the Scripture has to be fulfilled. But that the Scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me had lifted up his heel against me. I see in John 13, 18, Jesus said, I know whom I have chosen. And in John 17, 12, if you'll write this down, you know what Jesus said there in the Lord's Prayer when he got to the Lord's Prayer in John 17 in verse number 12. He said, I've not lost none of them. Turn with me there. He said, I've not lost none of them. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. He said, everyone I kept in thy name. And you said, what about Judas? How did he get out of the wheel? How did he get out? How did he die and go to hell? Preacher, how did he do that? Friends, I want you to know this morning, nothing goes undone. Amen? Look what he says in John 17, 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Thou that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, the son of Satan. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture, here it is, might be fulfilled. When he chose him, he knew that he was going to betray him. When he chose him, he knew he was going to sell him out. When he chose him, he knew it. Friends, this morning, you know what? And the Bible teaches us this morning that we all must come to repentance in our life and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Woo, glory. He says this in verse number 16, scripture must be fulfilled in the text. But I see number 2 in verse number 18, not only will scripture be fulfilled, but sin must be revealed. Oh, sin in your life will be revealed. Sin in my life will be revealed because of the scripture. Scripture will reveal what goes on in our life. Sin will be revealed. Look in verse 18. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of his iniquity, and in falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gashed out. Let me give you this morning. Sin costed him. Sin costed him in his life. Not having a relationship with Christ costed him his life. I want you to get this. For Romans 6:23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. I want to stop right there. For the wages of sin is death. If you've never been born again, you have a wage. You have something waged against you, and it is death this morning. I wrote this down. It pays to sin. You know that? It pays to sin. You sin long. You just get out there and live any way you want to. It pays to sin. There's a payday with sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Hey, I want you to look this in the text. Now, this man purchased a field with the reward of his iniquity. I told you that sin cost him. You said, preacher, what did it cost Judas? It costed him everything. And this morning, I want you to know, if you're not saved and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, your sin's going to cost you everything. You can be on a church row. You can be a good guy. You can be a good woman. You can be upstanding in the citizen in the community you live in. But if you've not been born again, sin's going to cost you everything this morning. Whoa, glory. You said, what it cost him, preacher, because he didn't get in. What's going to cost him? Number one, it cost him his apostleship. It cost him his apostleship. Look with me in verse number 17. For he was numbered with us and it had obtained part of the ministry. He was right there with him. I wonder how many people has got part of the ministry in a church, but they're lost, dying, going to hell. They got part of the ministry. They've been ordained a preacher. They've been ordained a deacon. They're a Sunday school teacher. They got part of the ministry, but they don't have the master. You know what old Judas did? He carried the tote bag. He was your money man. He carried the money everywhere he went. He was more worried about the money than he was the master. The money overtook him instead of letting the master overtake him. This morning, what I'm trying to tell you is this man, sin was revealed in his life because the scripture must be fulfilled. It cost him his apostleship in verse 17, but I got good news. It cost him his peace as well. He had no peace. After he seen Jesus was sold out, you know what he did? He took them 30 pieces of silver. He took them and he went back. He said that would be equal to about 5 weeks' pay, 6 weeks' pay. Could you imagine selling out Jesus for about 5 or 6 weeks' pay? Can you imagine that this morning? Man, I'm telling you, hey, I want you to know it's going to be revealed. It only cost him his apostleship, but it cost him his peace. When he was living in that way, it cost him his peace. This morning, if you're living in sin, it's going to cost you some things, and it'll cost you peace. Let me give you this. Not only cost him his apostleship, not only cost him his peace, but it cost him his life. Verse number 18, look in the text with me. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity or sin. Reward of sin. It cost him. He got paid for it. Can I say something to you this morning? When Satan's through with you, he'll leave you hanging. When he's used you, all he wants to use you. And he's got everything done that he wants you to do. Let me point back at me. He'll leave you hanging. When he's done everything that he wants you to do, and he's used you up and made you look like a fool, you know what he'll do? He'll leave you hanging. This morning the Bible says this, it cost him his apostleship, it cost him his peace, but in verse number 18, it costed him his life. If you've not been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, it's going to come a day it's going to cost you your life. Look what the Bible says. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. And falling headlong, he's hung himself. He's done what Satan wanted him to do. He's hung himself. He's hanging out. This morning, I wonder who's hanging out with Satan this morning. Man, we've talked about the promise of the Holy Ghost. We've talked about the return of Jesus. And they've stuck Judas right here in the middle of the text. Why, preacher? Because I want you to know, don't you get hung up on everything, but you make sure you have a relationship with Christ Jesus. Don't you get hung up on your position in the church. You make sure that you have a relationship with Christ Jesus. Whew. See, the Holy Ghost is fixing to come and indwell these believers. Oh, my goodness. He burst asunder in the midst and his bowels gushed out. It cost him his life. Sin's a mess. Hung himself, and when the rope broke, when the tree branch broke, and he fell to the bottom, you know what it left? Nothing but ruins. You see people's life, that's nothing left but ruins. Even Humpty Dumpty couldn't be put back together again. A man or woman that won't repent cannot be put back together again. Cannot. You cannot be put back together again if you will not repent. This morning, I want to give you this. It cost him his apostleship. It cost him his peace. It cost him his life. But it costed him his soul. Sin left him empty. In verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate or empty. Let it be empty. And let no man dwell therein. It was empty. It left him empty. In Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 7, the Bible says, be not deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What a man sows, he's going to reap it every time. Judas sowed that way and he reaped that way. And this morning, as I come, as your pastor, you say, preacher, I don't understand. Let me give you this. Judas was remorseful. He went back and he sowed it back. You go to the book of Matthew, he throwed it back. And they told him, you done sold out. You done. It's over. You're done. And he throwed it back. Let me give you this. He was remorseful. He had regret. But the Bible said he repented himself. He repented. It bothered him, but it didn't bother him enough to get right. It didn't bother him enough to get right. Friends, this morning, there's people that you know and I know, and I've been there in my life at a time, that I was remorseful. I hate I got caught. I was regretful that I did get caught, but I didn't do nothing about it. That's repentance, is when you change. That change of mind, I'm wrong and God's right. I've repented, I've changed. Nothing goes undone, I understand that. I understand He's speaking to me right now and I must get at the spout where the glory runs out. I understand that nothing goes undone. Scripture will be fulfilled and my sin will be revealed because the Bible says, what I sow, I'm going to reap. Amen? I believe that this morning. He speaks to me. Does He speak to you? This week, I want to tell you this. We was riding up the road, me, Brandy, and Kaylee. And Brandy was on her phone talking. I didn't know where I was going. I told Kaylee, I said, turn on your phone. Tell me where I need to go. I gave her the address and she put it in there. And this morning I'm trying to tell you where to go. I don't know why he stuck Judas right here in this text, but he stuck him in there. And that may be for somebody this morning. And I'm sending you a warning. And as we was going up I-22, we was getting closer to Birmingham. And we were still several miles out. And I asked Kaylee, I said, you got it in your phone? And she said, yes. I've got it in my phone. I said, where do we turn? She said, we ain't got far enough yet. I said, well, I don't hear it talking. I don't hear it talking to me. She said, because it says just keep going straight. There's no need of turning. There's no need of getting off. This morning, if you're on the straight way, don't you get off. Hey, don't you get off. You stick with the stuff. You stick with Jesus this morning. I want you to know. You say, well, He ain't talking to me. If you're doing what He's called you to do, you just stick with Him. You stay straight. He's not going to talk as much when you're right where He is. But when you get wanting to go right and you wouldn't get wanting to go left, you wouldn't get on the wrong turn. We got into Birmingham and that thing started going crazy. Turn this way, turn that way, turn this way. Why? Because I didn't know where I was going. But as long as I knew where I was going and I was on that straight, that thing never talked to me not one time. This morning, what I'm trying to tell you in this text is that God wants you to know that the Scripture will be revealed and the sin will be revealed in your life. What a man soweth, he shall also reap. But as we come to this, I want to give you the last point and then we're going to go home. Not only do we see that Scripture must be fulfilled. Scripture must be. Has Scripture been fulfilled in your life? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Scripture fulfilled. Brother Jenny, you saved? Called on the name of the Lord? Scripture's fulfilled in your life. Brother Jake, you saved? Going to heaven? Did you call on the Lord? Scripture's fulfilled in your life. You see what I'm talking about? The fulfilled. If it's fulfilled. It's fulfilled. Scripture's going to be fulfilled. Sin's going to be revealed. But the last thing's this, and I want to make sure you have this. The spot has to be filled. Hey, have you got your spot filled this morning? Can you, when you walk out of this building, say, "Preacher, if I fall over dead, heaven's my home"? I talked to a man this week, and I told him, I said, "You can know that you know. You can know. You don't have to go out all the days of your life saying, 'Man, I hope I go to heaven. Man, I hope I've done enough good.' If you're waiting on your good, hell's your home. There's not enough good. I don't know no other way to tell it but that, Brother JD. There's not enough good. My righteousness is filthy rags. Ain't worth nothing. But the spot must be filled. What happened? Was the spot Judas was in, was it bad? No, it wasn't bad. He was chosen with the 12, but he didn't line up. He didn't believe. He didn't get where he needed to be. So what did they do with his spot? Just because he didn't do it, did they just wash it away and do away with it? Oh, no. Oh, no. I go to prepare a place for you. There's a spot that needs to be filled for you this morning. Maybe you're sitting there this morning. I love that you come up here and how he takes that out and washes it off and puts the light on the inside. I love that carving. That carving wasn't perfect. I mean, there's little edges missing here and there. Brother Jared carved that out, I guarantee you. No, Sister Dana did. Stuck my foot in my mouth. But that reminded me so much of me, that pumpkin did. How that when you look at me, you don't, hey, I ain't perfect. I know. I ain't got perfection. But I got a little light on the inside. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! Why? Going to let that thing shine, son. See, that pumpkin, that's still a pumpkin. His guts had to be dug out of him, but he's still a pumpkin. And the light put in. You can't have the things of this world and have that light too. Listen to me very clearly this morning. You can't have the cares of this world and have everything this world gives you and love everything about this world and get caught up in this world and say, "Yeah, but I got the light too." You can't have both. You can't have both. Judas wanted both. You can't have both. It don't work that way. Because there's a spot he's got for you. And it must be filled. I'm going to share with you this last point. I'm going to show it to you this morning. Why it must be filled this morning. He don't do nothing halfway. He does it all the way. And this morning, I don't know who I'm talking to, but nothing will go undone. If you're sitting in here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I feel like I'm undone and I need to be put back together," I want you to know there's good news this morning that you've not went too far. You're still alive. Don't you get to the place when Satan's through you, he'll leave you hanging. Don't you get to that place. Let me show you the spot here. Look with me, if you will, I believe in verse number 20. Yeah, there it is. The spot must be filled in verse number 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, "Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric, or his office, or his charge, let another take." He said, "His spot, let another have it." I wonder who I'm talking to this morning that you know that God's wanting you. He's wanting to use you. He's wanting to do something in your life. He's wanting you. He's drawing you. He's talking to you. Man, the Spirit's thick in here this morning. You say, "How will that spot be filled, preacher?" That spot will be filled by somebody that's been forgiven, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, is how that spot gets filled. That spot will be filled by somebody that is faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2, the Bible says, "Moreover, it is required." Not an option. Not if you want to. But it's a requirement. In the world we live in, nobody likes to be required to do nothing. I'm going to do it my way, when I want to, and how I want to do it, right? That's why we got Burger King. Right? We require other people to be faithful. You go to the doctor, you want your doctor to be faithful. Right? Employers in this house right now, you require your employees to be faithful. You go to the restaurant, you don't want your waitress spitting your food. You require her to be faithful. So what makes me think, that when I became a follower of Jesus Christ, that I didn't have to be faithful? If there's anything I need to be faithful to, and I'm not talking to you right now, I'm talking to me, because this is me I'm talking to right now, because the Holy Ghost is talking to me. If there's anything I need to be faithful in, it's my relationship with Christ Jesus. Why, preacher? Because the Bible tells me so. Look what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover. That means over, ever, moreover. I don't know a lot in Detroit, but I know this. Moreover, it means more than over. A bunch. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I'm going to ask you a question. We're going to have time of invitation. Has the scripture been fulfilled in your life? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Has scripture been fulfilled in your life? You see it all, it's written all over you. As Daniel said, who's the handwriting on the wall? Well, I know that handwriting. That's my daddy's. That's my daddy's. My wife, she can write me something. I can tell you that you can't forge her signature. It's true. It's all over me. I can see it when she writes it. Sin has been revealed in my life. And I repented of it. Asked Jesus to come into my life. Now I have a spot with part of the chosen few. Narrow is the way. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. But narrow is the way, and few, very few, find that way. That way is through the blood of Jesus Christ. There ought to be confirmation in your life this morning that you know Jesus. There ought to be confirmation this morning that you know Jesus in your life. And nothing should be left undone in your life. You should be faithful to what God's called you to do. I'm going to ask you one question. We come into the altar if you want to come, if the Spirit's leading. Is there anything in your life left undone? Sister Brenda had something left undone in her life, and it was baptism. She got it took care of. Is there anything in your life left undone? Because the next phase we're going into is Acts chapter number 2. And they was in one accord, one mind, and they was in unity. The only way you can be in one accord is that there's nothing left undone in your life. If there's anything left undone, say, preacher, I'll get it right tomorrow. Uh-uh. What is your life? It's but a vapor. Here today, Father, I love you and I thank you. Lord God, I thank you for this church. They know Scripture. They know the Bible. But Father God, I pray they know you. Father, I don't want to do nothing but preach your word. Father, I want your truth in my life. I want it all over me. I want it on my family. I want it on my church family. I want it on what you want it on, Father. Lord, I'm begging, Father God, for a great move in this church. And I'm praying for that, Father, that you move in a mighty way. Lord God, I pray Scripture be fulfilled all over this place. People that are dealing with sickness, I pray they be healed in the name of Jesus. Father, I believe that this morning. I want Scripture on Brother Lee that couldn't come this morning because he's sick. Father God, I pray this morning you heal him. I speak Scripture on his life. I speak on him this morning. Father God, I pray this morning you heal that man. Lord, I pray this morning all over this room that you heal. But the greatest healing right now is sin. That you heal that sin sickness in our life. Lord God, that the ones that went wayward, that they'd come back. Father God, the Bible says they left because it never was of us. Lord, I pray this morning that they get in under the spout where the glory runs out. And Lord God, I pray they get back to that spot in their life where they say there's not going to be a rock cry out for me, but I'm going to cry out that Jesus saves. Lord, I pray this morning, whoever I'm talking to, I pray I have not. I pray the Holy Ghost has. And they know this morning that something's undone and they need to get it right this morning. Father, I pray this morning that it gets right before they get left. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask you to stand.